Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by England et al. Titled, Neural Control of Blood Pressure is Altered Following Isolated Leg Heating in Aged Humans. This article was published April 2, 2020. Joining me today are Associate Editor Nisha Charkoudian, Lead author Stephen Romero, and expert Charlotte Usselman. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. We know that the control of blood pressure in humans changes as we age, and that these changes can contribute to the increasing risk of hypertension in older people. One of the newer non-pharmacological treatments for high blood pressure that has been receiving increasing attention is the use of body heating, which decreases blood pressure for a period of time after the heating itself, and may present an opportunity for increased compliance for populations who aren't able to exercise or who simply don't. In the present study, England and colleagues set out to evaluate mechanisms for potential changes in the control of blood pressure with body heating, using heating of the legs as a method for increasing body temperature. Stephen, could you summarize your study for us, including why you and your colleagues felt it was important to look at this question in older adults?
Thank you, Nisha. It's a pleasure to be a part of this podcast with you and Charlotte. So a few years back, we had published some data that demonstrated that blood pressure is reduced by about 8 to 9 millimeters of mercury in older adults following exposure to acute leg heating. Now, this was in contrast to younger adults in which blood pressure was relatively unchanged following leg heating. This finding was important because, as you mentioned, we know that blood pressure increases with advancing age and that a large portion of the population tends to be on at least one blood pressure-lowering medication. Some patients may even be on 3 to 4 medications, and yet they're still hypertensive. So these data were the first to highlight the efficacy of acute leg heating to lower blood pressure in aged adults and really set the stage for the current study, which was designed to examine the neurovascular mechanisms by which acute isolated leg heating reduces arterial blood pressure in aged humans. So in this study, we exposed 13 young and 10 older adults to 45 minutes of isolated leg heating. We heated the legs using specialized pans that are lined with small tubes, which allow us to circulate hot water over the skin of our participants. We measured arterial blood pressure before and 30 minutes into recovery from leg heating. We also measured muscle sympathetic nerve activity via micronography of the radial nerve and assessed the transduction of nerve activity into vascular resistance. As we previously reported, we found that blood pressure was well maintained in young adults, which appears to be due to an increase in sympathetic nerve activity. However, in aged adults, sympathetic nerve activity did not differ from preheat to recovery, despite a marked reduction in blood pressure of approximately 7 millimeters of mercury. Neurovascular transduction did not differ from preheat to recovery for either group. So taken together, these data suggest that the reduction in arterial blood pressure that occurs in aged adults following exposure to acute leg heating is mediated, at least in part, by a sympatho-inhibitory effect that alters the compensatory neural response to hypotension. So in other words, the expected increase in sympathetic activity that typically occurs in response to an acute reduction in blood pressure is absent in aged adults following acute leg heating.
Thanks, Stephen. Charlotte, based on your expertise and experience in studying neurovascular control mechanisms in various populations, what was your main take-home message from the findings of this study?
Thanks, Nisha, and thank you guys so much for inviting me to be here. I'm really happy to be here talking about this great paper by Stephen. What I would want my students to take away from this paper really is that heating induces central resetting of the arterial baroreflex to the left in these hypertensive aged adults, which favors lower blood pressures after heating. And obviously that's very interesting and has clinical implications. But you did ask for my main take home, and my main take home is all about the neurovascular transduction. So really, the idea of looking at neurovascular transduction is relatively new if we think about how long we've been studying MSNA and using microneurography. And pioneering work by people such as Nisha Charkoudian have shown that neurovascular transduction is very high in older adults. And this is generally a bad thing because MSNA is going up with age. And then neurovascular transduction is also going up, which results in bigger vascular consequences, higher blood pressures. And what Nisha has shown and some other people have shown is this has a lot to do with the adrenergic receptors, and particularly the beta receptors, which might decrease in density or sensitivity with age. And really the idea is if we can bring down that neurovascular transduction in people who have high MSNA, that would be really favorable. So one of the questions that I've been asking, what Stephen and his co-authors are looking at here, is whether neurovascular transduction is altered on an acute time scale. So maybe if we can develop these techniques which sort of offset the deleterious vascular effects of high MSNA on an acute time scale, can we sustain these over time? And actually here, what they found is that the aged adults didn't increase their neurovascular transduction. It wasn't changed with heating, which is interesting because their sympathetic nerve activity wasn't really compensating to bring blood pressure back up. And I might think that in a hypertensive person, their neurovascular transduction would increase to sort of favor this increase in blood pressure. But that didn't happen, which is actually a good thing in this case. And to me, that means it provides preliminary evidence that there might be a lack of plasticity in neurovascular transduction. So at least these data seem to suggest that maybe we're not affecting adrenergic receptor sensitivity on an acute time scale. But obviously, this requires a lot of follow-up. But this is what I found to be super interesting about this paper.
Very helpful response, Charlotte. Thanks. And thanks for the shout out, obviously. Stephen, I wanted to get back to some of the bigger picture aspects of your work. And one of the things that I've thought about as I've seen some of these newer studies come out over the past 5 or so years regarding passive heating is that I wonder how this relates to, kind of from a more applied perspective, the aspects of compliance with blood pressure treatment. So, for example, were your volunteers on blood pressure medication? And how would you think about what would happen if blood pressure went too low with a treatment such as this?
We did allow patients to enroll in the study who were on high cholesterol medications, but aside from that, none of the older participants were on any other medications. One of the benefits to heat therapy is that, you know, you might have older individuals who generally like to stay at home, or maybe they're homebodies, or they can't afford gym memberships. These types of interventions might make it easier for people to obtain some benefits that might be similar to exercise training. We really try to emphasize the use of lower leg heating because in some of our chronic heating studies, we're having subjects perform heat therapy in home because we provide them with portable leg baths that are generally pretty low cost. So even if subjects wanted to participate in this type of heat therapy on their own, they can easily do it as opposed to maybe having to buy a sauna or a hot tub that might be, you know, several thousand dollars. And so we're really advocating for this type of therapy. Now, I'm not advocating for people to go out and ditch their gym memberships. I still think that exercise might be the best non-pharmacological intervention. But as you mentioned, heat therapy might be a good option for a portion of the population who may have physical limitations or simply have no interest in exercising.
Thank you very much. Charlotte, if you think about your, as you were saying, main take-homes from the study, what kinds of things would you think about as follow-up questions from this study or future directions for this type of research?
Well, Nisha, this is going to shock you based on my research interests, but my first question was whether these effects were sex-dependent. So I researched sex and sex hormones, and the authors here did a great job of having an equal distribution between the sexes. So in their young individuals, they had 6 women, 7 men. The women were studied in the early follicular phase. These things made me very happy when I was reading the paper. The postmenopausal women were not on hormone replacement therapy. Again, it was about half and half for 6 women, 4 men. But this then begs the question, are there sex differences? So especially with respect to neurovascular transduction, we know, not to give you another plug, Nisha, but you have been one of the ones to show that neurovascular transduction, especially in women, goes up in postmenopausal women. And then again, this is a bad thing. And if we increase the sample sizes of men and women in both of these groups, I would be so interested to see if any of these effects are sex dependent. And frankly, I would be shocked if they weren't sex dependent.
So our current study was not powered to examine potential sex differences, even though we try to have equal numbers of subjects between groups. But if you pull the data from our 2 leg heating studies, the reduction in blood pressure in the recovery from heating is nearly identical between men and women. We have neural recordings in some of these subjects, and it appears that the reflex increase in sympathetic activity is absent for both men and women. But this isn't a small number of subjects, so we need to collect additional data in order to make a concrete conclusion. Does that make you happy, Charlotte?
I mean, it makes me pretty happy, so.
Yeah, very happy.
I figured you guys would be interested in that, so I went back and I pulled all the data together last night. And
For the older group?
Yeah, so to answer your question, that was only in the older folks. What we consistently see with the younger adults is that their blood pressure doesn't fall after heating.
Right, right.
It's nearly identical to preheat in both studies for the young adults. The older men reduced blood pressure by 8 millimeters of mercury, pulled across both studies, and the women were right around 7 millimeters of mercury. Grant, you know, there's always some deviation in there. But for the most part, it's a pretty robust and consistent reduction in blood pressure.
Fantastic. Wow. Charlotte, is there anything else that you'd like to add about the big picture relevance of this study?
So I can't get this out of my head. Should we be telling older adults to do hot yoga? So you mentioned potentially like dangerous drops in blood pressure with heating, but if you were doing some exercise in the heat, activating the muscle pump, this sort of seems like a real nice marriage of all of the worlds of getting people to exercise. And aged adults are benefiting from the heat in a way that the younger adults really aren't, or at least these hypertensive adults are bringing their blood pressure down is probably a better way of saying it. And that heat seems to be a good way of doing that. And maybe we should be recommending that aged adults get into hot yoga. That is my big picture question.
Fantastic. Stephen, your thoughts?
I would say yes. I think that having older folks move in any way possible is better than not moving at all. This idea of heat therapy is really emerging, and we don't know if you combine exercise with a superimposed heat stress, if the benefits would be maximized or increased relative to exercising alone or heat stress alone. My guess is that there would be some additive benefit, and I think it could be done safely, provided that the thermal stimulus isn't quite large, and that, as you mentioned, they do have some activation of the muscle pump to prevent hypotension.
Right. Yes, I would agree with that. And I'll just add that I appreciate that you emphasize the safety aspect, because certainly, you know, either exercise intensity or posture and balance and heat intensity, all those things would have to be taken into account, especially if you're working with an older population who isn't as able to buffer things. I'd like to thank Stephen Romero and Charlotte Esselman for joining us for this podcast today and for a very interesting and stimulating conversation. Kara, back to you.
Thanks for listening. Would you like to hear more? Visit the AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology homepage for our latest episodes.